Well, good morning and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church. God warms the earth with the sun and waters the earth with rain. Let us rejoice in all of God's gifts and praise the name of the Lord. Again, welcome and good morning. We are delighted that you've chosen to worship with us this morning, especially if you're here for the very first time or you've just begun attending. We're pleased that you've joined us, and those of us who are here week in and week out have been taught to find somebody we don't know and introduce ourselves. But if we don't get to you quickly enough, you find someone and you introduce yourselves to us, because we are pleased that you're here. We'd love it if you would find a home here with us. Now, there are many ways to do that, but one of the important ones is through getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. You can find lots and lots of ways to do that in your bulletin insert. I'm going to list a few things. Okay, first of all, mark Friday the 13th, because it is your lucky day this year. February 13th from 5 to 9 is our first all-church and preschool intergenerational dance party. And you are all invited. Invite your friends. There will be light snacks and music from many decades. I think they did that for me so I could feel at home. Photo booth for dance partners. It should be a great time of fellowship and fun. And I hope you will mark your calendars for Friday the 13th, the day before St. Valentine's Day, from 5 to 9 in the gym here at West End. Also, mark your calendars for February 17th, which is our pancake supper and jazz mass on Fat Tuesday, on Shrove Tuesday, just before Ash Wednesday. There will be pancakes, and they're always wonderful. There is a joyous worship service that really sets the stage for the very solemn services the next day. So that's February 17th. Today is the last day that we'll be collecting jars of peanut butter for Second Harvest Food Bank. We have collected 160 as of this past week, and I'm sure a few more will be added. Those will go a long way to helping restock those shelves there. Also, this morning our youth begin their preparation for the 30-hour famine. They've done this for several years. There is a table out in Reed Hall. You can learn more about it. Our communion offering will go to support this, but just so you will know, that if you would like to support that or you'd just like to learn more about it, you can learn more about it by talking to one of our folks who will be at a table in Reed Hall. Ever have anybody tell you to count your blessings? Well, we're not just here to count our blessings. We're here to learn how to share them.
Thank you. gather to recall God's mighty acts in Jesus Christ.
We trust in God's promises of old.
The light of the world makes his home among us.
The glory of the Lord shines in our darkness.
Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God,
we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 22. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you, and I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of their enemies, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth gain blessing for themselves, because you have obeyed my voice. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Five years ago today, I began my service here at West End as a mid-year appointment, and today began my sixth year among you, and I just want to take this anniversary day to offer gratitude to God that I am able to be here and continue to serve among you. So thanks to you and thanks to God. If I were to rename this sermon, you know, these titles get turned in ahead of time, and I may not know completely what I'm going to talk about. I would rename it The Well, The Ram, and The Actress. That should pique your interest. Before the passage you heard Jonathan read, there are two very important stories in Genesis that are not always necessarily linked, but I think they are linked by two things. They have the same kind of threefold structure, but also God intervenes in a particular way and offers blessing. Now, one of those is probably very familiar to you. The other maybe not so much. And we're going to start with the less familiar one. As Abraham and Sarah were aging, though God had promised that they would have a child, there was still no child. And it had been a long time. And they started thinking, well, maybe it's up to us to do this thing and not just wait on God to do it. And so Sarah came up with an idea that Abraham should father a child with her servant girl Hagar, which was not unusual in those days. She would claim that child as her own, and that would be the child of the promise. Well, she got no objection from Abraham. So the plan went into process, and he fathered a child with Hagar, and they named the son Ishmael. Sarah guarded Ishmael like her own son. Until at the age of 90 and her husband at the age of 100 got word that they were going to have a child of their own. And when the child was born, they named him Isaac, Itzak, which means laughter. Because that's a pretty funny idea when you're 90 and 100 that you're going to have a child, right? You got to laugh or cry. They chose to laugh. But once Isaac was born, Sarah began to be jealous of Hagar, began to be jealous of the attention that Ishmael was getting, felt like Ishmael perhaps was not treating his younger half-brother well enough, and so she banishes Hagar and Ishmael from the camp. Now, being banished from the camp in those days, where they lived, meant the likelihood of death. But God comes to Abraham and says, "Now, Abraham, don't worry about Hagar and Ishmael, because I have plans for them. I will take care of them." So Abraham sends them out with bread and a skin of water into the desert around Beersheba. Well, the water didn't last very long. And after a time, Hagar decided she could not stay and see her child die. So she put Ishmael under a bush, and she left him there. She abandoned him. But she didn't get very far. She broke down in sobs, the scripture says. She broke down in sobs, and apparently Ishmael was crying because God comes to Hagar, just like God had come to Abraham, and said, "Don't cry, Hagar. I have plans for you and your son. He too will be a great nation." And when she's able to clear the tears from her eyes, there's a well in front of her. Either she had not seen it when she got there, or God miraculously provided for her. So, Hagar receives a promise for her child. God redeems and literally saves the life of a child in order for that child to become a great nation. And as you probably know, Ishmael is the forebear that Arab people look back to, both Christian and Muslim Arab people, and that specifically Muslim people look back to as their ancestor through whom they are related to Abraham. So if anybody tells you that Jesus wants you to go out and kill Muslims, don't believe them. Not right. Jesus doesn't want you to go out and kill anybody. These are brothers. Because you see, a similar story is told about Isaac. Only in this story, God comes to Abraham and asks him to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice on a mountain that God will show him. Now, you notice God doesn't necessarily say, kill Isaac, but offer him up. So, Abraham gathers the wood and the fire they would need to carry with them, and the donkey and two servants. They travel to the mountain, and when they're inside of the mountain, he leaves the servants behind and the donkey behind, and he and Isaac are walking up the mountain carrying the wood and the fire and the knife. Isaac asks a question. I see the wood, I see the fire, and the knife, but where is the sacrifice? And his father responds with this enigmatic response, God will provide the sacrifice. Now, is Abraham trying to deceive Isaac, to not let him know what he thinks he's going to have to do? Or does he trust God enough that he believes he's not going to have to do it and God will provide a sacrifice other than Isaac? The storyteller leaves it unclear. But when we get to the mountain and Isaac is bound and placed on the altar, God speaks to Abraham, just like God had spoken to Hagar, and said, don't sacrifice your son. I see that you trust me. And so, Abraham sees a ram caught in a thicket. Now, God doesn't say the ram is a substitute for Isaac. But Abraham jumps to that conclusion. Takes the ram and offers up the ram as a sacrifice. And God promises, actually reiterates a promise that has been made before, that Abraham and Sarah's descendants will be as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sands of the sea, and that they will be blessed to be a blessing to all nations. They're not just blessed, and not for themselves alone. They are blessed as we are for one reason and one reason only, to be a blessing to others. All nations. And so you see, God takes a situation of abandonment and saves the life of a child, and that child becomes a great nation. God takes a situation of almost sacrifice and saves the life of the child and turns that child into the ancestor of a great nation. And yet the purpose for all of this saving of lives is not just so they will be blessed, but so they will be the carriers of blessing, the vehicles of blessing for others. Story number three. I have another story for you. In the summer of 1957, Nashville, Tennessee put in a plan to respond to the court decision in 1954 called Brown versus Board of Education to desegregate the schools. Brown discovered that while schools were separate, they were certainly not anywhere close to being equal. And so that desegregation order came down and was heavily resisted throughout the Southeast and in some other places. But Nashville put together what was called the Nashville Plan. And in 1957, they were going to integrate first grade. There wasn't kindergarten in the public school at the time. And then the next year, they would integrate first and second, and then first, second, third. And in a period of 12 years, the schools would be integrated. Not everybody was happy about this. In fact, in Clinton, Tennessee, there were riots. And a number of people who accompanied children to school were beaten severely. They were so fierce that Governor Frank Clement sent in troops to protect the children and to quell the rioters. And one of the reasons that Nashville was able to survive this whole period of time with greater equanimity than most places is its leadership. Governor Clement, for one, who supported the desegregation order. And then there were folks who wanted to mount a second campaign, and they wanted to have the mayor decide that the school system in Nashville couldn't desegregate. Not only did the mayor say, yes, they would, but his son Jay was going to enter first grade in one of those desegregated schools. There were originally 19 African-American children who were going to be attending previously all-white schools. By the time of enrollment, the time of the first day of school, there were only 16. And everywhere there had been pre-enrollment, there were crowds gathered to spit on the children, to call them ugly names. The crowds were often armed. As these first graders, accompanied by their parents and sometimes accompanied by other folks from the community, simply walked into the schoolroom. Well, it was during this time now, Will Campbell tells a story in his book, 40 Acres and a Goat. If you don't know this book, it's a wonderful book. Will had moved from Mississippi to Nashville to help work with racial justice issues. And there's an episode in the book in which he talks about spending a night at First Baptist Capitol Hill. That's what we call it now. Then it was the First Colored Baptist Church because there was another Baptist church and you didn't have to say First White Baptist Church in those days. The pastor he was in the church with was Dr. Kelly Miller Smith. They spent the night there because there had been bombings and threats of bombings. Hattie Cotton School was bombed on the second day of school. And so they felt like somebody should be on the premises, and so this night, Kelly Miller Smith and Will Campbell were there. And Will started talking to Kelly about his daughter, Joy, who was one of those first graders who would be integrating the schools that year. And he asked, how can you send a child like that into a situation where you know people are going to be saying terrible, ugly things? They're going to be spitting on people. There could be physical harm. How can you do that? And Kelly Miller Smith read him the story. He got out his Bible and read him the story of Abraham and Isaac. He said, we don't get to choose the altar. We don't even get to choose the mountain. And then he said that Dr. Smith stopped and he prayed. And he said, I just pray that may the thicket be strong and the ram's horn be long. And he accompanied his daughter to school. And they did help to desegregate the Nashville Public Schools. But there's another story that comes out of that, which is very interesting. Because where God intervenes in this story is through the attitude of Joy Smith, of the daughter. Let me read you what Will has to say about that. It says, years later, when little Joy Smith was all grown up, an actress in New York City, she explained why she wasn't afraid. I would have been afraid. How about you? She said, I'd heard the talk at home, in church, on the news. I knew that there was something special about my going to that particular school. Because she had always been so secure in the love of those close to her, she assumed that the crowds had turned out in her honor. Wouldn't it be great if we all carried that attitude? She remembered wanting to go back to the door one morning when the mob was especially noisy outside her classroom and do a curtain call. So our actress is born. Even after all those years, it made me feel better. No surprise that her name is Joy, is it? No surprise that she turned into an actress. Is it? The blessing that was brought by those people who stepped out, risked their lives or their children's lives, is that today we don't have that kind of color barrier. We don't have to worry about those kinds of things. That's a blessing that gets passed along, just like the blessing of Ishmael, just like the blessing of Isaac and their descendants. And of course, the greatest blessing of all, we believe as Christians, is God coming to us in Jesus Christ and offering himself up. And God takes that and turns it into a great gift, a gift of love. My prayer is that all of us who are so richly blessed, we are so blessed in so many ways that sometimes we are not even aware of the number of blessings we have, even though we may stop to count them. We'll not simply count those blessings and keep them to ourselves, but we'll pass them along to others. And that sometimes the most difficult, demanding times of your life, God can turn into blessings if we just go along. Thanks be to God.
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who come and worship with us this morning. We're so glad to see each one of you. If you're a college student, either undergraduate or graduate, please join us in room 322, the Fireside Lounge, for lunch and a time of fellowship. You're just going to go up these stairs and follow your nose to the food. Our focus in the weeks leading up to Lent is called Finding Your Place in the Family of God. And so this morning, we have the opportunity for you to find your place. There is a table for Bible studies and topic studies, a table for Sunday morning classes, and a table for covenant discipleship groups in Reed Hall. And you can learn more from lay leaders that will be out there and how you can be involved. If you're a first-time guest worshiping with us, we invite you for the Bread for the Journey table. It's also in Reed Hall, where you can receive a small loaf of bread and more information about ways to be involved. I invite you now to take note of the gray card in your pew rack in front of you. On one side, you can put comments for staff and lay leadership. On the other side, you can put prayer requests. Drop that in the offering plate, and we will lift those up during the week. Please take a moment to record your attendance in the attendance pad. Pass it down the row and note who you're worshiping with so you can say hello after the service. Our deepest sympathies are extended to the family of Rachel Gadd. She is mourning the death of her grandfather, Albert Buddy Gadd. who died January the 17th in Germantown, Tennessee. Our sympathies are also extended to the family of Marcia Summers and Amber Davis. They are mourning the death of their mother and grandmother, Joyce Fielder Summers. She died Monday, January 26th, and services will be held in the sanctuary this afternoon at 2 p.m. with a visitation in Reed Hall following the service. God has graciously given all that we have. As a people of faith, let us return thanks and offer our tithes and offerings.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right
and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, God of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, God of Ishmael and Isaac. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through the prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. You are holy, and you blessed your Son, Jesus Christ, to be a blessing to all nations and all people throughout all time. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us in the power of your word and Spirit. And as we gather, we remember that on the night he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, saying to them, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many you will never know, for the forgiveness of sins. Drink it as oft as you gather in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now I invite you to join with me as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught to those he called brothers and sisters and friends, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Since there is one loaf, we, though many, are one body, for we all partake of the same loaf. When we break this bread, it is a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we give thanks is a participation in the blood of Christ. This is our Lord's table, and you are all invited. You don't have to be United Methodist. You don't have to be a baptized Christian. If you're seeking a new or renewed relationship of love with God and your neighbor, you are welcome to come and take this holy sacrament to your comfort. The choir will come first, then the balcony, then the transepts, and when it's your turn to come here, we would ask that you come by way of the center aisle, kneel. When you're ready to be served, simply extend your hand. You'll receive the bread first and then the cup. When you have received the two elements, you're welcome to remain for a time of prayer if you choose. And when you return to your seat, we ask that you return by way of the side aisle. If you need to be served in your pew for any reason, simply catch my eye or the eye of one of the ushers. We'll be glad to serve you there. As I mentioned earlier, we take an offering at every communion service, and this month that offering goes to support our youth in the 30-hour famine. If you would like to learn more about that, you're welcome to visit the table after service in Reed Hall. And if you would like to support that effort, there are two offering plates next to the front pews where you can leave your offering. My friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Restore.
You have given yourself to us, Lord.
Now we give ourselves to others.
Your love has made us a new people.
As a people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. Two things before I send you forth. Did your mind ever just go blank? Mine did, and I neglected to tell you that the mayor's name was Ben West, the mayor of Nashville, who sent his son Jay to school, just to correct that. And then Martha Likens, who has placed these lovely flowers in memory of her husband, Bill, United Methodist minister and one-time president of Greensboro College, has invited you all to come and take some flowers after the service to share with whomever you might like to share that with, to continue, as she says, living the light. Now go forth in peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you always.